Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with your host, Meredith.
And Stoss.
And today we have on a very special guest. We are so excited to have Doreen Virtue on. She is an amazing woman of God with such an incredible testimony of how Jesus led her out of New Age. So we're just so excited. And we're going to introduce you. We're going to hype you up.
A little bit about Doreen is that Doreen holds a BA and MA in counseling psychology from Chapman University. And she's currently 3/4 of the way through earning an MA in Biblical and Theological Studies from Western Seminary. She's in seminary to learn how to rightly divide the word and encourages women to study the Bible.
Praise God. And you know what, Doreen? So I think we have a very similar testimony in the sense to where we were in the New Age. I think you were in it for a lot longer. How many years were you in New Age?
22 years in the New Age. And then before then, I was in New Thought my whole life.
Ooh, okay.
I was raised, it's like the sister to New Age.
Interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not familiar at all with New Age. I want to know, what is New Age? Like, what did you practice? Like, I only came from a Christian background, so learning about New Age is super new to me. So if you don't mind explaining what New Age is and how it was practiced.
Absolutely. New Age is the belief that God is omnipresent, so therefore he's in you. But not in the sense of the Holy Spirit indwelling a saved believer, but it's this belief that that everyone is a child of God, no matter whether you're a believer or not, and that everyone's like a little god or a little goddess in training. And it's super blasphemous. Mm-hmm. It also is the belief that Jesus was a mortal man only, and the New Age belief about God is that the God is an energy called the universe or source.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that this earth is just Mother Nature. And so it's really like Romans 1 said, it's serving the creation rather than the creator. No sense of who God is. We all connected to angels and spirit guides because we didn't have any relationship with God, because we were unsaved sinners, first of all, which broke our relationship. But secondly, because we'd not read the Bible and we just didn't have a sense of who our creator is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And that kind of reminds me, like, so I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Christian school, and I never had a personal relationship with Jesus, and I didn't understand, I think, just the depth of the sacrifice that he made for us and why I really needed a savior. And when I was in high school, I just didn't really think about God. It just wasn't anything that crossed my mind because I was surrounded by young people that just weren't, it just wasn't a thing we even talked about. Mm-hmm. And then I fell into New Age because I had friends that were talking about, like, oh, like enlightening yourself and becoming your higher self. And I started hearing all these words, and I was like, well, this sounds really good and interesting. And this sounds like something that would be good for me. And it kind of reminds me of that verse in 2 Corinthians that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a deception. And you've written a book that's all about that, and you guys can go check that book out. But if you want to explain a little bit more, I think even just like with, cause I know you wrote angel cards and you have a background in that. And it's so funny because I found your YouTube and I knew about the angel cards and I knew your name because I almost bought them, I'm pretty sure, at some point. And then once Jesus was like, yo, I need to wake this girl up, I stumbled across your YouTube channel and I watched your testimony and I was just blown away.
Wow.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that God had me stumble across you and see this, because I was like, well, I've also experienced what she experienced. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen. Yeah, the whole thing starts in New Age with not knowing God and thinking that you're in control of the universe. New Age teaches that your thoughts control your reality 100%. There's no sense that God is sovereign at all. It's people are sovereign with their thoughts. If you think a negative thought, negative things are going to happen to you. If you think a positive thought, you'll be rewarded by the universe. And just kind of the domino effect of that is that you believe you're in charge of controlling your future and your destiny.
Well, I was just going to say, it's law of attraction.
Law of attraction. And also the psychic aspect. You become addicted to psychics, psychic readings, using the cards, crystal pendulums. And it's all because you want to peek into the future, because there's no sense that you just trust God with your future, like as we do as Christians. So it's just this big domino effect that all starts with not knowing God. And it just goes downhill from there with the New Age. Unfortunately, since I've been saved, I've seen a lot of New Age in the church. And so that's what I spend my time doing, is warning people about New Age practices that Christians may not be aware of the dangers.
When I was born again, which I actually was just rebaptized a few weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I was like thinking about like all these new concepts and ideas, and I'm like, well, I didn't learn this. Like, there's all these new things I'm hearing, and I had to be very careful and learn how to discern and be like, okay, well, this person thinks this, and does this line up with the word of God? Because ultimately we need to test every spirit and go to God's word to know the truth, because his word is truth. In the Bible, it says, you know, meditate on the word, and that word meditation is very heavily used in New Age. And that was something that really drew me in, because I would deal with anxiety, and I was told, okay, just meditate and sit there and, you know, clear your mind. And if you have a negative thought, just push it out and all this stuff. What is the danger in doing that?
Oh, real dangerous. So the word in Psalm 1 for meditate on the law day and night is a Hebrew word that's haggah. And haggah literally means utter or mutter. So it means to speak out loud. So biblical meditation is to focus on scripture and speak it out loud. Utter or mutter might be under your breath, where it's not, other people can't hear it, but just to read scripture and just focus on scripture. Where New Age and Eastern meditation, like you said, Meredith, is about emptying your mind and focusing maybe on your heart rate or your breath or a mantra. It's super dangerous, because when you open your mind up like that, you mentioned before 2 Corinthians 11:14, where the devil masquerades as an angel of light. The devil masquerades as your own thoughts. If you're opening your mind up, you might think New Age and progressive Christianity call it higher self, which does not exist in the Bible, is a New Age term. So you might think, well, I'm getting a message from God, and it's Satan in disguise, leading you away from the Bible, leading you away from the real Jesus. A lot of New Agers follow the prophesied false Christ, who is a permissive universalist who says that everyone goes to heaven. You can do whatever you want, this false Jesus said, as long as you're positive and happy. And, you know, that just wreaks havoc on your life if you follow that kind of a belief.
That do what makes you happy mindset, that's in like the follow your heart.
Follow your gut and instincts.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all else.
Right.
And we're told in all media now, you know, do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Disney is all about follow your heart. And that is contrary to what the Bible tells us. So we're like indoctrined at a young age to just, you know, follow your heart. If doing this makes you happy, well, do it.
Yeah, you're so right. Disney, you go to Walmart, you'll see t-shirts, even little packs of Kleenex that say, you know, do what makes you happy, follow your dreams, follow your heart. And I mean, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds logical. And it would be nice if that was true. But like you quoted Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things. And the Bible says the heart is sick, and we can't trust it unless we have the Holy Spirit guiding our heart, leading us to Jesus, leading us to scripture, leading us to godliness. Our normal heart is very selfish, very hedonistic, wants what it wants, and it's rebellious against God too. Mm-hmm.
So backtracking a little bit, how did you get into the New Age practice, and when did you start to know it was deception and you were turning towards God? Because I think I read on your website you were in that New Age shop for like 58 years. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I was raised by my mother. My brother and I were raised Christian Scientist, which is just a horrible cult. It used to be very popular.
I've never even heard of that.
No, it used to be really popular. Sometimes people think it's Scientology. It's not. It's this this cult that says you don't have to go to doctors. You've probably heard that. And you don't go to doctors because you pray and think yourself well. And it's just, it's horrible. It's just an awful cult. But that's how I was raised. We did have a Bible. We were told we were Christians. We went to church every single Sunday and Wednesday nights too for the testimony meeting. And so Christian Science is basically Gnosticism, where you believe that anything material is bad and only the spiritual is good. And you just discount, you kind of don't pay attention to your feelings, physical or emotional. You just kind of like power through pain. You know, it's just an awful way to live. And so the New Age, when I was, it was about the 90s, I got into the New Age, and it was just a continuation of Christian Science. My boss, Louise Hay, was raised Christian Science. We all followed this book called A Course in Miracles that Marianne Williamson, the ex-presidential candidate, she popularized it on Oprah. It's all Christian Science, all of it. No, and I was on her show twice. I used to tour with all the popular New Age teachers. You know, name a New Age teacher, I toured with them for about 22 years all around the world, teaching heresy, which I didn't know it was heresy because this is all I had known.
Yeah.
And I had only cherry-picked read the Bible enough to be dangerous. So, you know, I would use the name of Jesus in my talks, in my books. People just assumed I was Christian because they hadn't read the Bible either. Yeah. And then I heard this sermon by Alistair Begg in January 2015. I don't know if you're familiar with Alistair Begg. He's just amazing minister from Cleveland, Ohio. Because I thought I was Christian, I used to listen to Christian radio like all the time, but I would also listen to Buddhist talks and Hindu talks. You know,
it's all of it.
I thought all paths lead to heaven, like Oprah teaches. And so I listened to this sermon on 2 Timothy 4, which is the famous passage that says that in the end times, people won't want sound doctrine. They will want their ears tickled and by false prophets. And so Alistair Begg is describing a false prophet, you guys, and it's like he's describing me to a T.
Wow.
And that was the first time I was convicted.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, there's something here. And it pierced me. And so I told my husband when I got home, because I was in the car listening to this, I was like, we got to go to church. So going to church and reading the Bible, especially reading the Bible, is what led to my salvation and me leaving the New Age. And I've completely renounced the New Age. There's people selling my old stuff, which is so upsetting because I've told them not to, but they make money off of it.
Yeah.
And so all I can do is tell people if they have my old cards, I'm sorry, but please burn them or throw them away. Don't use them. They're demonic. And just do what I can to teach about New Age, yeah.
And just get rid of all the stuff in the past, like the crystals and the, yeah, I had to do a big cleansing of all that.
Didn't that feel good, though, to do?
It really did. I was like, oh, I need to get this. I mean, I repented just up until recently. I hadn't really confessed and repented and asked for forgiveness for being in that. And I did that, and I feel so much better. So
yeah. Yeah, repentance is, I mean, in the New Age, you always talk about cleansing and detoxing.
Isn't it funny how they like mimic each other?
Yeah.
It's very.
The devil counterfeits.
They look very similar, but the word is alive, and that's why reading it and being in the word, because God speaks to us through the word, and that's really the only way we can grow and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit is by continually feeding ourselves with his word.
Amen. Yeah, Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 was what completely led to my repentance. It's where Moses is talking to the Israelites before they're going to go into Canaan, and he's saying, don't be like the pagans. And God's speaking through Moses and says, if you do divination, if you do mediumship, if you try to read signs and omens, and everything I was doing as a New Ager, he said, God said, you are an abomination to me. People who do this are an abomination. And that just broke me, because you know what? In the New Age, they teach you that you're doing God's work. It's so crazy, but they teach you because you're, it seems like it comforts people. It seems like it brings them peace. Mm-hmm. And so you just say, oh, it must be God's work then if it's positive. And when I read that I was an abomination to God, but reading Deuteronomy 18, that's when I fell on my knees. So, so sorry, please forgive me. And I just realized I couldn't be my own savior. And that's when I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. A lot of people have been trying to blend New Age with Christianity, and you can't blend the two because they're opposites. New Age is all about glorifying yourself. And of course, Christianity is about glorifying God.
Yeah. And that's so crazy, because people knew, like, as I've been on YouTube, I've been doing YouTube since 2009, and I always, people knew that I was Christian, but I didn't really, oh, wow, yeah. So I was a Christian practicing New Age, and I had people tell me later after I came out of it, they're like, Mare, I was so worried about you. I was praying for you. Like, when I saw you were getting into that, I was so concerned. And it's just crazy, because I even developed an eating disorder, and I became very underweight and anorexia. I had anorexia during the time I got into New Age. And it's like, I had so many like demons. Like, I literally, people don't understand.
The spiritual realm is so real.
Yeah. People don't understand the spirit realm is like, so people don't think about it, but there's spirits.
There's the spirits from the New Age.
So can we talk about yoga for a minute?
Well, I was going to ask. Yes. I was a yoga practicer as well.
So. Same here. I'm sorry about the dog. Sugar sweetheart, let's not bark right at the moment. It's the enemy. So one of the churches that I attended actually had a yoga studio on its church campus.
Oh, geez.
And a lot of progressive Christians think that yoga can be Christianized, that you can put, you know, scripture over it and such, and you can't. You know, go back to Deuteronomy 18, you can't scrub something pagan. It's like saying, oh, I'm going to Christianize astrology, or I'm going to Christianize Ouija boards. You just can't. So yoga is not just stretching, it's not just exercise. It's bowing down literally to the 330 million Hindu deities. And then people might say, well, what's wrong with that? Who have universalistic beliefs that everyone goes to heaven, like Oprah teaches. They might think, well, Hindus are nice people. You get to heaven if you're nice. No, you don't. You only get to heaven by repenting and believing in Jesus. The Bible's very clear, John 14, 16. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. And so he also says he won't share his glory with anyone. So we can't have idols. You talked about idols quite a bit, Meredith. I'm glad to hear about that. So with yoga, you're literally making your body mimic the demons, mimic the different yoga poses are like I said, bowing down to the different deities of Hinduism.
Oh my God.
So in the normal sun salutation series, there's three poses that are called warrior one, two, and three.
Yep. Did a lot of that.
Yep. And I recently talked with a friend of mine, Caitlin Engelbert, who was a former holy yoga teacher until she realized you can't blend Christianity with yoga. And she found out Vera Bradasana, I'm not saying that right, is acting out a murder story where you are the demon murdering this person. And it's this whole, the warrior is a demon warrior. And Vera Bradasana, yeah, is Vera Bradas is a demon. Wow. In Hindu theology, it's not Christians saying, oh, that's a demon. No, it's a Hindu belief that's a demon. Wow. That you are playing the part of. Wow. And each one of the different asanas or poses in the sun salutation series are acting out a different pagan deity or demon. They're all demons. Pose and worship. And Christians cannot have any part of that.
Because you're worshiping You're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something else.
Yeah, and no matter how much scripture or Christian music you put over it, it's still worshiping an idol, a pagan idol, a demon. And we as Christians, we can't do that. We just can't. So there's, and it's not natural. It doesn't glorify God to have your arms straight out in a locked position. It's not a natural stretch. And we're supposed to bring all glory to God. We're told to do that. That's our purpose. So Caitlin Engelbert on YouTube has a channel now of non-yoga stretching. Because we are supposed to stretch. I mean, that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up because I used to actually do yoga for just obviously physical purposes. And I liked, you know, just to do it for my body. But a lot of my friends and people would tell me, like, yoga is not Christian, like doing that. And I know towards the end when they would bow and do those practices.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting like, I would just creeped sit out there, just thinking
about it. I would just sit there and not do that because I kind of felt my spirit a little like I'm not doing that. And when they would bow and then pray and say thank you to whatever, I don't remember
what they would
say. But what you mentioned, warrior one poses, warrior two, I remember those. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I'm very skeptical about doing yoga again. And
my mom still does yoga. I hope she listens to this. My mom listens. She'll be like, okay, I'm not doing yoga.
Yeah, yeah, no, especially the warrior.
Yoga YouTube channel, let me know because I'd love to do those. But yeah, I mean, that's very interesting to know. So thank you for letting us know.
It just makes me think about that verse. I forget which verse it is, but it says the path is narrow and the gate to destruction is wide. That's so relevant to like just what we see in society today, because there's just so much that you can like grasp onto or think
and
that
things
it's okay.
You don't even know of like simple yoga practices and meditation practices that I even used to do, but it's like you don't know the spiritual realm behind that and what can lead into other things or open the doors to. So.
Yeah, and it's not being legalistic. I mean, it goes back to Jesus, if you love me, obey my commandments. And so, you know, you can see Jesus as Yahweh in the Old Testament, that these commandments are coming through him. Mm-hmm. And this is obeying Jesus, is obeying the Ten Commandments, which he said are summarized in love God and love people. And love God means obey. It means listen.
Yeah. And it's like, we're not here to condemn anyone because that's not what we're called to just bring truth. And hopefully the Holy Spirit can come and
your eyes, open your spirit into realizing these meditation practices, these yoga practices are opening the doors for bad spirits, for demons.
We just want you guys to be aware. Another thing I wanted to talk about really quickly is astrology, because I was very into the stars and I thought that they were gonna like help me with like tell my future or, you know, lead me into certain, like why I was feeling a certain way. And God created the sun, moon, and stars, but he doesn't want you to worship them. He wants you to worship him. And I think a lot of people, and I myself included, I was worshiping, like idolizing the stars and the sun and the moon. And that is just not, it's so like promoted, especially on social media. I see it everywhere. I see it on Instagram. I see it on, there's videos people do of their monthly horoscopes. And I see Christians that I know that are still very into their zodiac sign and their horoscopes, and they're listening to, if you're listening to other spirits, how can you have the Holy Spirit?
That's right. Yeah, I was really into astrology too. And so I knew my chart, you know, all the different planets, and I was very much aligning my life according to whether it was a full moon or a new moon or Mercury retrograde and all that junk. And again, it goes back to Romans 1, people serving the creation, which is the moon, that's the stars, that's the creation, rather than the creator, and making them idols instead of knowing that God is sovereign. He's in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, people will then argue with me, well, the Magi, they were astrologers and they're in the Bible. Well, just because something's in the Bible doesn't mean that God's endorsing it. I mean, there's rape, there's incest in the Bible. God is not endorsing those. He's reporting them. The Bible's a history book. And so we're not to follow what the Magi did. And it doesn't even really say they're astrologers. We know that there was astrologers in Daniel's, in Nebuchadnezzar's court when Daniel went to Babylon. And that the astrologers could not interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Only Daniel could, because the Lord gave him favor and the Lord interpreted those dreams.
God, since God is sovereign over all and he created everything, he gave people the gift of being a, like a prophet. And so that's where the enemy will mimic that and use people like psychic mediums to, you know, give people information on their future, what's going to happen to them. And it's not to say like, so that stuff can be accurate at times, but they're not getting it from God, the creator. They're getting it from a different spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was a professional psychic in the New Age and I did stage readings all around the world and I was very accurate. I could tell people when they were going to move, what job they had or would have, if they were getting a divorce, if they're getting married. I mean, I was really successful because I was super accurate. But you mentioned before, test the spirits, 1 John 4, and the demons who were posing as angels talking to me were leading people away from Jesus, were leading people away from the Bible, and they were trying to addict people to following them by giving them what seemed to be accurate answers mixed in with lies. And that's how the enemy works, is he'll give you a little truth. And then, you know, it's just like Genesis 3 with the serpent, a little bit of truth mixed in with, oh, God didn't really mean that. Or you can have secret wisdom if you follow me. And that's what psychics do. And I'm really ashamed I was a part of that. But at least I can use my sinful past to warn others to stay away from false prophets and from psychics. I personally have never seen a modern prophet who lines up with scripture. I'm sure it's possible because God can do whatever he wants. But when I read the biblical prophets, they were all doing a specific task. They were calling people to obey God. They were not telling people their life purpose or about their soulmate or about moving, or unless it was moving to Babylon or a promotion at job. They were not stroking anyone's egos. The biblical prophets were all about, you better repent or you'll be destroyed. Really scary stuff. And people tried to kill the prophets because of that.
Yeah.
In the New Age, I would take a lot of risks. I'm a dive master, scuba dive master.
Oh, wow.
And I would go scuba diving wherever I was in the world. And I would often be with sharks. And I would go in underwater caves and just take a lot of chances and risks. And, you know, I mean, it's all God's timing. But if I had died as a New Ager, I would be in hell right now.
My experience with Christianity, like, people don't talk about hell. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say, we are given a list of different sins. If you commit these, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not something that's really talked about in church because people don't want to scare off the people and lose the money that they're making through their, you know, through their churches. And I remember last summer I read Revelation and I read about the lukewarm church and I was like, that's me. And I started getting into it and I'm like, idolatry. I was like, okay, I definitely, this is an idol. Like, I'm not a good person. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven.
That's right.
Accepting Jesus and knowing that God sent his one and only son to pay for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God the Father is the only way to get to heaven.
Yeah. And it reminds me, if anyone's watching who is in the New Age is all about reincarnation as a belief. And so they don't repent because they think they get another chance with another lifetime. And, you know, in Hebrews, in the physical death, it says a man is born once and dies once. And so we're born again spiritually, but the physical body, you have one chance at this. And that's why we need to repent. I mean, who knows when Jesus is coming back? He said, no one knows. And so people guess all the time. He said, you can look around just like you can tell if what season it is by the leaves on the trees. And I mean, there's just so much going on in this world right now. Jesus didn't say when he'd come back, but he did say to be prepared.
Keep your lamp.
You repent and you take up your cross and follow Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you need to obey my commandments. Mm-hmm. And his commandments were, number one, of course, love God with all your heart. And love means obedience. In the Bible, they're paired a lot. Love doesn't mean an emotion like, oh, I love God. It means obedience to God. And we're still under the Ten Commandments. And the book of Deuteronomy explains the Ten Commandments. So we're not saved by our works, but once we're saved, we've got to obey God. And then he said to love other people, and that includes our enemies. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in John 15 that we have to pray for our enemies, and that those who persecute us, we need to pray for. And that's not easy, but he'll help us. He'll give us the strength to pray for those who are mean to us, who've abused us, who've hurt us. It's really super important to obey Jesus, to love God and love other people.
Forgiveness is key too. When you think about how Jesus, when he was on the cross, he had to forgive the people that put him there.
From psychics. I personally have never seen a modern prophet who lines up with scripture. I'm sure it's possible because God can do whatever he wants. But when I read the biblical prophets, they were all doing a specific task. They were calling people to obey God. They were not telling people their life purpose or about their soulmate or about moving, or unless it was moving to Babylon or a promotion at job. They were not stroking anyone's egos. The biblical prophets were all about, you better repent or you'll be destroyed. Really scary stuff. And people tried to kill the prophets because of that.
Yeah. I know some people that go to the school Bethel.
Oh no. They're teaching a different gospel. And Galatians says, I'm astounded that you would turn to a different gospel, and anyone who teaches a different gospel, let them be accursed. That's in the Bible, yeah. Galatians. Wow. And they're teaching a different gospel, starting with Bill Johnson, their head. What is he, the prophet? Somehow he's the head of the school. He, in his book, When Heaven Meets Earth, and I have it, a copy of this if anyone wants proof, he wrote that Philippians 2, he twisted it, that it said that when Jesus came to earth, he emptied his divinity and he was only a human on earth. That's a heresy. That's called kenosis. It's one of the heresies. Orthodox Christian theology says Jesus was fully God, fully man, on earth, that he lived and he died for our sins, and then 3 days later he was raised and he's at the right hand of his Father. That's the basis of Orthodox Christianity. Anything that deviates from that is heresy and is a primary heresy. Bill Johnson teaches a primary a hill to die on, heresy. And he also teaches that anyone can be a prophet. And that's not biblical at all. If you read the Bible about the prophets, they were all chosen by God very clearly. Jeremiah, he was chosen. He was fighting it. I'm too young, God. And God saying, no, I want you to do this. Isaiah was terrified in Isaiah 6 when he was called to be a prophet. It's not, you don't go to school and pay a couple thousand dollars and get a certificate to be a prophet. No. It just doesn't work like that.
Many, like it says, many are called, a few are chosen. And I don't think you going to a school just to become a prophet shouldn't be coming from man. It should be coming from God.
Amen.
I think, you know, I went to the same, I went to Bethel too. I saw Bill Johnson preach. They do the fire tunnels. And going through that, it was like, oh, once you're going to feel the spirit of God, or if you feel it fall down or scream or yell. And I'm just like, how is the Holy Spirit going to do that right now in this moment? Or where is this coming from? Or why in this moment? You know what I mean?
It's like there's just so much deception even in the church. That's what scares me. And we're coming up on a time where there is, I believe, going to just be even more. It says even the elect, in the last days, the elect will be deceived.
I could talk about the Enneagram. Okay, well, the Enneagram, the points is something that was invented a long time ago. And so people will say, well, it's safe because it's ancient, but that doesn't mean it's safe just because it's ancient. You know, sin is ancient. It's not safe. But there's a man named Claudio Naranjo, and I have a video of this on my YouTube channel. that went on TV and admitted how he got the enneatypes, those 9 different characteristics and 9 different numbers, is he used a process called automatic writing. This is his words, not mine. Automatic writing is a form of channeling in which you receive demonic information and you write it down, and you're usually unconscious of it. You may not understand it. And so he admits publicly that he got the enneatypes from automatic writing, which should be a red flag to any Christian. And then, of course, you've got so the basis of the Enneagram is demonic. I just want to say that really clearly. Some people say, well, the basis doesn't matter, and they focus on the benefits. Oh, it helps my relationships. Oh, it helped me to understand myself and my husband more. Okay, but, you know, people say that about astrology, too. They say that about the Ouija board. They say that about a lot of sins. It doesn't make it godly because it has seeming benefits. Mm-hmm. But what it does do is it leads to pride. And I've seen people who are hooked on the Enneagram, and they are so hung up that they are an 8, and they go around boasting, I'm an 8. I hate ones. I'm a 9. My husband's a 5. Oh, really? That explains everything in your marriage. That's the same as astrology, where people say, I'm a Taurus. I'm married to a Scorpio. Oh, really? That explains everything.
People would ask me, like, what sign are you? When I used to be like, oh, I'm a Scorpio. I'm this and that. I'm like, oh, that makes sense why you are a people pleaser.
It's like you're taking it on as your identity.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, if we're saved, we are children of God, and that's our identity. Yeah.
Would you be able to go into like tarot cards and it was angel cards?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, I have no idea what.
And do you know, you probably know about past life regressions, right?
Yeah.
I had one of those done, and oh my gosh, I don't even know why I did that. But I remember being like, that was the biggest waste of money ever.
What is past life regression?
Where they like try to hypnotize you and be like, now what do you see? And I'm like, I saw nothing. And I was just like making stuff up because I'm like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't real.
Yeah, well, I did have some past life regressions that actually did seem real, and that I corroborated historically, because I went back to the 1500s and I went back to Babylon, and I saw things that I did not know that were historically accurate. So I believed in reincarnation. And in the New Age, they teach you that the Bible teaches reincarnation when it talks about the spirit of Elijah, that is a reference to the reincarnation of John the Baptist.
I was just going to say that. I don't know
Elijah.
How.
But it's all a demon lie so that you won't repent in this lifetime. And so you won't be saved in this lifetime because you think you've got a million chances. So past life regression is all demons giving you thoughts and giving you visions. Or in your case, Meredith, because the Holy Spirit's within you and protected you, you get nothing. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, you got nothing. My work was so successful from a worldly standpoint of success.
Yeah.
Because the cards seem to work, but it's all demons behind it. The reason I started making cards was I had a dream where my deceased grandmother came to me, and she told me to study Pythagoras. And I woke up, I was like, the triangle guy? Why would I study Pythagoras? But that led me to study Egyptian spirituality, numerology, the Hermetics, and it ultimately led me to Tarot. And look what happened. I made, I don't know how many decks of cards. The deception just went because of that dream. And that was obviously a demon pretending to be my grandmother, giving me a false message. But I didn't know that at the time.
Wow.
I thought it was really my grandmother who loved me. And, you know, so this must be something from God. And the deception is just so subtle sometimes. It's why we have to keep studying the Bible every day. I'm so concerned that people don't read their Bibles, you know, because that's what led to my salvation. Without knowing our Bibles, we're just like sitting ducks for the devil. You either are saved or you're not saved.
Yeah.
And
so real. I didn't really understand the severity of it until, which is crazy, as I grew up in a Christian home, I didn't even really understand. I didn't even start thinking about heaven and hell until last summer. And ever since then, I just want to see people saved. And it's like all I think about. It's crazy.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what we should be thinking about. I mean, that's the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Go and make disciples of all nations. And we, you know, if we really care about people, we will want them to be saved. We don't want them to go to hell.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Doreen, we are just so, thank you for coming on. And I was wondering if you could say a quick prayer for our listeners. We always like to pray either before or after. So we would just love if you would do that for us.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your sovereign nature. We know you're in charge of everything and we trust you, Lord. Please help us to be obedient. Please help us to learn who you are, and please give us all an appetite for your word, that we will want to be in your word daily, that we will have the word illuminated by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for anyone watching this video today who's not saved, that they would that you would help them to repent, that you would draw them to you, Lord, and that your irresistible grace would just bend them in your direction, and they would have that hunger for your word, and they want to give their life over to your son Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you for Jesus, what he did on the cross for us. We thank you so much that he was willing to suffer and die for the sins and taking the punishment that we deserved, and that you raised him from the dead 3 days later, and that he's now at the right hand in heaven with you, and that he will be coming back, and he will be judging the wheat and the tares. And we just pray that everyone listening will be the wheat, that they will give their lives to you, that they will give their lives to Jesus, and that you will save their souls, Lord, that you will indwell them with the Holy Spirit and just help them to get out of the secular and worldly and progressive.
Let me say amen, amen.
Amen.
But thank you, Doreen, and we are going to stay in touch.
Oh, good.
I have your email and your Instagram, and I'll be praying for you. And I'm just very grateful for who you are
and how
Jesus just transformed your life.
And how you're transforming other lives.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're so just encouraged by you. So thank you.